From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Thank you for joining us today. This is Alan Cairns with you once again to continue to let the Bible speak upon the temptations of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have been considering this week the devil's evil purpose in tempting the Lord Jesus. And I trust that as we have done so, it has introduced you to aspects of the subject that I think most people have overlooked. It's a vital subject, and so we're returning to it one last time today. Before we do so, we will have our usual commentary, our hot topic for today. It comes from Britain, but it deals with something that I think would be very relevant here in the United States. According to a recent survey of British people, religion is divisive. We're going to be thinking about that in a moment. But first, we commence with what we in Presbyterianism call a paraphrase. It's a hymn that's based on Hosea chapter 6. Come, let us to the Lord our God with contrite hearts return.
Come, let us to the Lord our God with contrite hearts return. Our God is gracious, God will be father of his
trust opinion polls, especially when they're made for organizations with a vested interest in the results. That said, it's interesting that according to a poll conducted for the pro-socialist Guardian newspaper in England, most Britishers believe that religion is a divisive force in society. And according to the prevailing wisdom, that means that it's useless. For if religion is not to make men more tolerant of others and enable them to live at peace with others, why bother with it at all? Not surprisingly, irreligious leaders who have no attachment to any eternal truth are making common cause with liberal ecumenical churchmen to foster the idea that at bottom all the great religions of the world preach the same truth. In this view, we all worship the same God, though we may employ different forms and rituals. Thus, religion, properly understood, is the tie that binds men together. If it is divisive, it's being unfaithful to its own truth. So the more we can span the divide between religions and encourage each to accept the rest as variations on the same fundamental truth that it holds dear, the better. Some even go so far as to envisage a syncretistic answer to the religious divide, that is, combining the best of all religions. Baha'ism is an attempt in this direction, and certain leaders of the professedly Christian ecumenical movement are really syncretists. In her annual address to the British Commonwealth of Nations, Her Majesty the Queen adopted the syncretistic approach, giving credence to the claim that all the great religions of the world teach the same basic truth. I greatly respect the Queen, but she's wrong on this one, dead wrong. The answer to the religious divide that exists in our nation and the world is not to evacuate truth of its essential being. It is not to equate truth and the lie. It is not to relegate the matters that God has revealed to us in His Word, a revelation that's consummated in His only begotten Son, to the same level as the superstitions of man-made religions. Nor is it to seek some amalgamation of all religions. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." But, as Pontius Pilate asked the Lord Jesus, "What is truth?" There are so many competing answers that you may feel that there's no answer. That's the conclusion of those who dismiss religion as divisive and therefore bad. But there is an answer. And for the good of the nation and all its citizens, we need to recognize it. Jesus said, "I am the truth." He promises that anyone who is willing for the will of God will know the truth. "If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God, or whether I speak of myself." Jesus said, John 7, verse 17. Thus, the answer to the divisiveness of competing religions is not to water down the truth, but to preach it all the more. Introduce men to Christ, who is the truth. In the short term, that may further divide them from their erstwhile co-religionists, but in the longer term, it will pay great dividends. First, it will keep them from the worst sort of separation, eternal separation from God. Second, it will give them a love for their fellow men. Finally, that love will drive all their evangelistic efforts and will ever seek to protect the natural liberties of all men. In other words, the true unity and liberty of the nations depends on the spread of true Bible Christianity.
Take the name of Jesus with you, town of sorrow and of woe. It will joy and comfort leave you, take it then wherever you go. Precious name, oh how sweet, oh how well and the joy of heaven. Precious name, oh how sweet. Oh, my God.
the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church here in North America. The booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, sets forth a very brief historical sketch of how the Free Presbyterian Church came into being and what its doctrines and practices are. We hope this booklet will help you to get to know us a little better. We'd be happy to send it to you free of charge if you write or call and request it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-866-877-LTBS, 1-866-877-5827. So if you'd like to have the booklet Separated Unto the Gospel, make sure you write or call. We look forward to hearing from you.
Been examining the devil's evil purpose in tempting the Lord Jesus Christ, and we have noted how the Lord Jesus repelled him. Now, as we close out the week, we draw some much-needed personal application with truths that no Christian can afford to ignore. So, with that in mind, let's turn once more to Matthew chapter 4.
Satan comes to you and me exactly as he came to Christ. You can never have the world, but he'll offer you a little bit of it. More than you'll ever really get, he offers. I want to ask you this morning, what are you selling your soul for? What foolish little trinket of the world is it that the devil puts in your hand or dangles before your eyes? You're willing to damn your soul for that thing. Of course, he tells you that'll not be the outcome. You can have the world and Christ. You can have your sin and eternal life. You can run with the devil on the broad road and yet get in through the gate to glory. He'll tell you all that, but he is a liar from the beginning and the father of all lies. Men and women, let me tell you, there is only one possible proper response to Satan's temptation, and it is the response of our Savior. Get behind me. Jesus said that when the proposal was brought down to the essence of all temptation, where Satan says, fall down and worship me. I want your heart. I want your mind. I want your devotion. I want your worship. Worship me. Let me tell you, no matter what the devil gives you, if the cost is even a moment's worship of him, it's too much. It's too much. For all hell is in that proposal. The answer is to stand with Christ in this. My time is gone. But when I tell you to stand with Christ in this, I have to finish with a word about the delivering power that's evident in Christ's temptation, how Christ overcame Satan. You could easily say it because of his impeccable person. Jesus is God manifested in the flesh, and God cannot sin. But it's very interesting that the Lord Jesus did not assert his divine authority to dismiss Satan until he had suffered all the temptation. There is something I'll not even get into this morning. Whether I ever do or not is another question. Luke tells us about all temptation coming to at least a temporary end here, because in the temptations of Jesus you have distilled the essence of all temptation. It was only when he had suffered it all and being victor in everything that our Savior said, get behind me. So how did he overcome? He overcame in ways that you and I can overcome. First, by the fullness of the Holy Spirit. You remember we read in the last few weeks, Matthew chapter 3, after his baptism, the Spirit came upon him. Luke tells us specifically that he was filled with the Spirit and was driven up into the wilderness. You do not overcome. This is a huge subject, and I don't know if I'm even wise not giving 2 or 3 weeks to it. But you do not overcome Satan by studying Satan. I have to go to Switzerland in June, God willing, to preach on a subject that I must say I have no desire to preach on at a fundamental congress. And that is spiritism and occultism. Why on earth Christians want to study the devil is more than I ever knew. And I will have a different way of dealing with it, believe me. One of the things that will be my purpose to teach, and this needs to be taught in places like Switzerland and Germany, where I have met Christians who are fascinated by the occult, is you do not defeat Satan or get the power to overcome Satan by becoming an expert in Satanism. Why on earth God's people want to fill their minds with the filth and the garbage of the sewer pipes of hell is more than I can understand. It is by spiritual power that you overcome Satan. You could know every satanic ritual, you could know everything ever written about Satanism and still be a plaything of the devil. You need to be filled with the Holy Ghost to overcome Satan. The power of the Spirit, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. He overcame him by obedience to Scripture. It's quite obvious that by this time in his life, the Lord Jesus Christ was the complete master of the Hebrew Bible. Now, it's easy for us to say, well, he's God manifested in the flesh, and God knew it all. The humanity of Jesus did not learn the Bible by the natural omniscience of his divine nature. The humanity of Jesus learned the Bible the way everybody else learns the Bible. He read it, and he read it, and he memorized it, and he read it, and he memorized it again, until the Bible filled his heart and filled his soul, and his thinking was as naturally biblical as it could possibly be. That's how he overcame. He had always the right scripture to give. He knew which scripture to turn to. He was not fumbling and footering around wondering, has the Bible anything to say about this? That's what the trouble with most Christians is. They get into trouble and they say, does the Bible have anything to say about it? Is there anything in the Bible here that relates to this? Ignorance of scripture leads to disobedience to scripture. The Lord Jesus overcame by his obedience to the scriptures that he knew. Oh, that we would submerge our souls and bathe our hearts in the Word of God, know the book and do what the book has to say. Once you know God's Word on the subject, there'd be no parleying with the devil about any alternative action. But of course, the Lord Jesus overcame because he kept in mind with constant vigilance what his calling was. Never lost sight of it for a minute. He knew why he was in the world. He knew what the will of God for him was. And as he kept that before him, remember what I said about his baptism? It was a consecration to that will to fulfill all righteousness. In a much lesser degree, but nonetheless true, that's so of us. Men and women, why are we here? What is my calling? Why has God put me on this earth? Broadly, it is that I might glorify Him. That's it. That's it. Now, specifically, to know the will of God, how I am to glorify God, I can only know by the instruction of the Spirit through the Word and prayer. Through the testimony of the church as well, as Acts 13 makes clear. But once I know that, the way to face Satan is to keep that always in mind. That's how the Savior did it. And that's how he conquered. In summary, we're not here worshipping a little powerless babe in a crib. We're worshipping one who came as a babe, who grew to a man, who conquered Satan in our name and as our head, who died and rose again, who ascended to the right hand of the Majesty on high, who ever lives with power to save, with power to sympathize, with power to strengthen, and with power to uphold. This is our Christ. I hope you've caught a little glimpse of what it meant for Christ to be a true man. Hope you've caught a little glimpse of the awful humiliation involved in the God of glory coming to earth to submit himself even to be tempted by the devil as a man. Incredible. If man had said it, incomprehensible though God has revealed it. But thank God, Christ plumbed the depths of what has often been called the human condition in order to raise us up to the state of everlasting glory. Make sure you know Christ, and make sure you follow him. Thank you.
listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we Let the Bible Speak.